Napoleon was short, Einstein failed math, and Lincoln wrote the Gettysburg Address on the back of an envelope. You'll find all those claims on the internet, but that doesn't mean they're true. Indeed, the internet abounds in myths and false information, so be careful what you believe. Today, financial planner and teacher Rob West shares an internet claim about a debit card scam with a surprising twist. Then we'll take some listener questions as well. Now, today's program is pre-recorded, so don't call me. I'm Steve Moore, a debit card scam wrapped in a hoax. That's next right here on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, we're going to talk about this scam, but first, what are we saying about Napoleon, Einstein, and Lincoln?
We're just making the point, Steve, that you have to take things you see on the internet with a grain of salt. It turns out that Napoleon was actually 5'6", a little taller than the average Frenchman of the day. Einstein may have failed an entrance exam to a school as a child, but certainly never math. And Lincoln actually used official White House stationery to write the Gettysburg Address. There are still 5 original copies of it today.
Wow, we are rewriting history, ladies and gentlemen, right here on MoneyWise. However, he did use a Bic ballpoint pen.
And really?
Yeah, I read it on the internet.
Great source. Yeah.
So what do we know about this debit card scam?
Well, this is a story you'll see circulating all over the internet, Steve, with many variations, but the gist of it goes like this. A woman is home when the phone rings. She answers, and a person from an apparently legitimate delivery company asks if she'll be there for the next hour because they have a package she has to sign for. She says she will.
Okay, seems plausible enough. No red flags yet. Go on.
Well, a little while later, sure enough, a uniformed delivery man appears at the door with a basket of flowers. There's no card, and the woman is curious, so she asks who the basket is from. The delivery man says he doesn't know, he just delivers things.
Ooh, it's getting a little mysterious now.
Yes, right. Well, so the delivery guy then explains there's a $3.50 verification charge. The transaction will provide proof that he delivered the package to an adult and didn't leave it on the doorstep where it could be picked up by a minor.
Okay, so asking for money might be a red flag, but that's not a lot of money, $3.50. The verification thing sounds logical to me. What happens next?
Well, then the lady offers to pay cash, but the delivery guy says he can't take cash, only a credit or debit card. So there's a record of the transaction. He also explains that delivery people never carry cash to avoid robbery. And like you said, Steve, it all sounds logical. So by this time, the woman's husband has shown up at the door with a debit card. The delivery guy asks him to swipe it in his mobile card machine and enter his PIN number, which the husband does, and the transaction goes through. The couple is then handed a receipt. With everything in order, the delivery guy says goodbye and drives off, but that's certainly not the end of the story.
Okay, so now I'm a little suspicious because they had to use a debit card.
Exactly right, and that's where the scam is revealed. As you might suspect, it turns out the device used to swipe the card wasn't really a mobile card machine. It was actually a gadget called a skimmer, and it recorded the debit card number and PIN. Now, you can imagine what happened next. Over the next 3 days or so, the couple discovers that a total of $4,000 has been siphoned out of their bank account from ATMs all over town. Of course, they reported the theft to their bank and the police, but by then the bogus delivery guy was long gone.
So it's another classic scam that we have to be on the lookout for. Maybe on the bright side, she did end up with the flowers.
Well, yes and no. So here's the rest of the story. It turns out that almost every version of this cautionary tale on the internet is completely fake. Like a typical urban myth, it gets passed around the internet, modified and embellished over time.
All right, so we don't have to worry about this particular scam.
Not quite. I said almost every version. It turns out this scam actually did happen, but just once in Australia in 2008. In that case, the delivery guy was quickly apprehended. When you think about it, it's not really that clever a scam because the perpetrator was seen by the victims and ATM cameras also captured his image and he was caught right away. But the moral of the story is, while this is largely another internet hoax, there's two big takeaways. first. Don't ever accept anything you didn't order or when the sender is not clearly identified. And second, when a stranger asks to use your credit or debit card, whether in person or on the phone or in an email, never give it out unless you initiated the purchase.
Right. Wise words to live by. Thanks, Rob. He is Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Back with more after this.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
We're going for a mystery trip. That was my Sunday afternoon family special. But my oldest son always started his barrage of questions until I finally looked over the back seat and just said two words, "Trust me." Well, I'll tell you, this COVID virus thing feels like a massive mystery trip. And man, do we have questions about where we're going to be when it's over. There's a lot of fear and uncertainty and loneliness and grieving. But for 2,000 years, people have found one person they could trust with their fears and their past and their future and their life, and that's Jesus. He proved he could be trusted when he died an awful death penalty to pay for our sins and when he conquered death with his resurrection. The Bible says we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. Look, if you're ready to trust your life, your soul, to this man who loves you like no one else, we're ready to help. Contact us at 888-NEED-HIM or chataboutjesus.com. You'll finally be forgiven, and you'll finally be safe.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
This is a reminder that today's program is a rebroadcast, so even if you hear the number, please don't call. But you can send us an email at questions@moneywise.org. Thanks for tuning in and for listening today to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. And if I may, if you've never visited our website, you might want to check that out. You'll find a number of free resources there, including archives of all of our past radio programs, some budget templates to get you started in that regard, also how to find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area, and how to connect with a budget coach. And for that, there's no charge if you decide you want to move down that road. You can also make a donation if you've never given to this ministry. We would be blessed, we would be honored, and humbled if you would consider a gift of any size. Just click the donate tab at the top of the page, and your gift obviously is tax deductible and goes a long way to help us help others experience true financial freedom. Let's go to North Platte, Nebraska. I've been there. Nice place, great people. And Mary, how can we help you?
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
In 1958, my dad was trying to get into the insurance business and purchased for me a $1,000 whole life insurance policy. I've never made any payments toward this, and now I'm soon to be 61. There's a surrender value of $1,605. Of that, $742 would be a gain, so taxable income. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if I should just leave this sit. It's not like I need the money, or if I should take it out and invest it elsewhere.
Well, it's a great question and obviously demonstrates the power of money over time. You've not touched it. You've amassed some value there. But I think you could, in fact, do better outside of this policy. You're right. It will be taxable. But once you pull it out, you could drop it into a Roth IRA as long as you have earned income and put it to work for you. It would grow on a tax-free basis at that point. You would not have any required minimum distribution. So you could just let that grow. Theoretically, if the Lord tarries and your health is good, you could let that grow for another 20 years. You could even add some money to it along the way. That would probably be my preference, just in terms of allowing this to have the chance to appreciate even more by pulling it out. The other option perhaps would be if you wanted to do some giving with this money, you could do that in a tax-advantaged way and perhaps miss the gain on that in terms of it being a taxable event. But I think either way, I'd love to see you get this money working for you a bit more effectively than inside that whole life policy.
I receive a pension as I'm retired, so I don't have earned income. My husband does. He's self-employed. Is there any other place besides a Roth IRA I could invest this in?
Well, he could put it into his Roth if he has earned income. Now, if he has earned income, you could have a spousal IRA without having earned income. You would just need to check with your tax preparer, and that shouldn't be a problem. Otherwise, you could put it into just a taxable account and allow that to work for you. Or again, you could, you know, find some other purpose for it. Perhaps is he contributing to a retirement account still at this point?
Yes, he does a yearly IRA.
Yeah, so he could take and contribute even more, and then you could use this to subsidize income that he would have normally received. Instead, he's just increasing his elective contribution to a retirement account of some kind. The bottom line is, I think you can get creative about where to put it. I think you can do better outside of a policy like this moving forward.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your help. And I
You're
love
welcome, Mary.
The program every day.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank
God
you.
Bless. 1-800-525-7000, Chicago, Illinois. Sharon, what's on your mind today?
Hi. I just turned 60 yesterday. I have an IRA from my previous employer. It's about $39,000 right now. And I have a mortgage that is $41,000 at 3.75%. And I wanted to know if I can take my IRA and pay off my mortgage. I don't know if that would be a good move or not.
Yeah, so you said you're 60 years old. Tell me about your long-term savings right now, Sharon. And by the way, happy birthday to you. Very exciting. Tell me about the retirement savings you've put aside other than this 401k from a previous employer.
Well, right now, at my current position, I am contributing to a retirement plan that we have here.
Okay.
And I really can't say how much it is because I don't check it. But,
sure.
You know, I put in a percentage and then they match that. So I will still have something for retirement with my current employee. And I've been here 11 years now.
Okay. Well, I think the thing I would want to balance is we want to make sure that you are well planned with regard to saving for the future. You know, we talk about this often. We approach retirement, just the notion of retirement, a bit differently than you might hear generally talked about in the culture. We don't think that you should just build up as much wealth as you can so you can just retire to a life of leisure, per se. There's nothing wrong with enjoying what you have and perhaps slowing down or redirecting your energy or even going into full-time service. What we just want to acknowledge is that your calling doesn't have an expiration date, and God created us to be workers. And during that season where you have the most wisdom and experience to give in service to the Lord and others, then we should do that throughout a lifetime. Now, that's going to change over time, and you may reach a point where you don't have the ability to work and generate an income. And so because of that, and because of this biblical principle we see around provision, providing for ourselves and for those who
depend upon us, our families, we should be savers. And so a part of that is having long-term goals and plans. So I think you taking the time to sit with somebody, a professional, and do some retirement planning would be very beneficial for you. If you don't have somebody who could do that for you, I'd go to moneywiselive.org and connect with one of our certified Kingdom advisors in your city. And this would be somebody who could really help you look at what have you accumulated to this point based on the amount of income you'll have available from Social Security or a pension, any other sources in retirement. What will that shortfall be? And how much wealth will you need to accumulate between now and then to be able to meet the gap there, the income requirement that you'll have? And are you on track, ahead, or behind? And I think that will be some helpful information for you just to know where you stand. And based on the outcome of that, I would like for you, perhaps if you're behind, to invest this money, roll it out to an IRA and invest it. And if you need some help with that, either that certified Kingdom advisor or our friends at soundmindinvesting.org could both be a resource to you. I like the idea of ultimately being debt-free, including your home. I would want to make sure that happens at least by retirement. And I suspect, given the balance, you're on track to do that. The question is, should you just go ahead and put all of that 401k money into paying it off? If you're not on track, though, with retirement, I don't think I would recommend that, just because you're going to have to pay tax on it, and then you're going to have less available to actually put toward the mortgage. So if you're a bit behind on retirement, I think I'd rather keep that in the IRA, invest it, add that to what else you're contributing to in your current employer, and then let's just continue paying the mortgage, perhaps adding out of current cash flow an extra payment or two a year to accelerate the payoff so that we get to the point of retirement where you have enough assets to depend on and you're completely debt-free. There was a lot of information there, Sharon. Is that helpful to you?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Very good. Well, thanks for your call today. We appreciate
Thank you, Sharon. We appreciate that. And again, happy birthday. Wish we would have known, because I bet you, Rob, there was cake. Mm. I could be wrong, but more than likely there was cake, and we'll go pretty much anywhere for cake.
Birthday That's right.
Cake's the best. Yeah.
Chocolate
cake
icing
is good. Chocolate. This is Money Wise Live. He's Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Both of us gaining weight and cholesterol that we shouldn't be. Money Wise Live, where we remember that God owns it all. We'll be right back.
Money and life run on the same track, but unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
Say, for instance, that you wake up in the middle of the night and you feel like the Holy Spirit is telling you that you need to pray for someone. What if you decided that every single time you rolled over in the bed and had a conscious, you became conscious? Up you go. Because it's got to be, Holy Spirit's calling me to pray. Holy Spirit's calling me. Until we cannot even operate or function, because we don't get any sleep, because every time we roll over in the bed, we decide that God is calling us to pray. Am I making any sense to anybody? We live in times of overindulgence. We are a wigged out culture. And what the enemy is up to, as much as anything in the day in which we live, is addiction, to get us where we don't do anything moderately. We do everything compulsively. That is not God. That is not God. The promptings of His Spirit are for our freedom, not for our bondage. So if we get into where that record continues to hit that skip point over and over and over, we're wigged. And all it takes is going, okay, that's not God. That's not God. Let's get back in the center again. I like to tell, if the enemy's messing with me, I like to tell on pretty early, so that somebody can speak truth in my life. Sometimes we do not know how bizarre we are until we tell someone we're bizarre.
Beth and the team are thankful for the grace gift to serve you. Your letters, prayers, and support are a vital part of this program. To request this month's thank you gift, text the word gift to 57682. Again, text GIFT to 57682 or go to BethMoore.org/donate. That's BethMoore.org/donate.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
You're listening to MoneyWise Live. Find us on the web at moneywiselive.org. But today we're not live, so if you hear that phone number, please don't call, but do stick around. Lots of good information ahead. Should you wish to contact Rob without calling, meaning maybe sending him a brief email, the address is questions@moneywiselive.org, such as this one from Angela. Dear Rob, should I set up my emergency fund in a separate account from my regular checking account?
Ah, Angela, I like the way you're thinking. Yes, absolutely. And here's why. Number one, you're less likely to spend it that way. You know, when you put your emergency savings in a separate savings account versus perhaps leaving it in your checking account, it requires one more step to access the funds. I like that. Now, that said, you want to be able to easily transfer the money from savings to checking, but the free ACH transfer from savings to checking that is typically provided takes generally 3 days. I don't think that's a bad thing. That's probably just the right amount of time for you not to tap it at every turn and yet be able to get to it when you need it. Thirdly, I would say when you do that, you can earn some interest, especially now that interest rates have moved up. You can earn anywhere between 1.75 and 1.85% from the online banks, and you'll get FDIC insurance along with that. A couple that are worth looking at, let's get real practical here just for a second, because there are no fees, no minimums, and they have an easy electronic transfer to and from your checking. You might want to look into these. Ally Bank, Marcus from Goldman Sachs, and Capital One 360. I like all three. Take a look and see which one is the best for you.
Now, what were those again? They went by quickly.
Yep. Ally Bank, A-L-L-Y. Marcus, which is the new online bank from Goldman Sachs, and Capital One 360.
All right. Check it out today. Fred is in the Flower City, the home of the Rochester Red Wings.
Yes,
my
sir.
Home as well. That's right. Hey, Fred, thanks so much for your patience. How can we help you, buddy?
Well, I came into some money, and I'm just a regular guy with a regular mortgage and about 4 credit cards and no overwhelming debt. But you know what? I came into $50K and want to put it somewhere other than my daughter's hands. They want some of it too. But
under the mattress, Fred. Always under the mattress.
Under the mattress.
Just don't give us your address.
First of all, the first 10% obviously goes right back.
Yeah.
So we're dealing with the 45K. But, you know, where to put it?
Well, obviously, Fred, this is a blessing, and it does come directly from the Lord. And I'm delighted to hear that you want to honor the Lord right off the top with that. That's great. With the rest, I'd be real strategic about it. And if you want to see a visual representation of what I'm about to tell you to do with it, I'd just navigate your browser over to moneywiselive.org, our brand-new website. Scroll down about 3/4 of the way to the bottom where it says Practicing Financial Freedom, and you'll see a visual depiction of the 4 areas we allocate money. Money for living, giving, owing, and growing. And other than having a spending plan and giving generously, which you've mentioned both of those, I think the key is to really look at level 1, 2, and 3 of owe and grow. Level 1 of owe is repay credit card debt, while at the same time, level 1 for grow is save for emergencies. So if you have any credit card debt or you haven't saved 3 to 6 months of expenses in an emergency fund, I would absolutely say after you give, that's where I'm going next, because anything you pay off on credit card debt, that's a guaranteed return of 10, 12, 15, 22% interest, whatever it is.
Sure.
And you're not going to get that in the stock market, no matter how good you are.
And the right. emergency fund is what's going to prevent you from having to go back to the credit cards the next thing something unexpected happens, and it always does. So those are really important. And if you take care of the credit card debt and shore up the emergency fund, if you still have money left, that's where I'm looking at making sure the rest of your non-mortgage debt is paid off. So that's where we start looking at cars and other things. And then we also mm-hmm. want to be saving for retirement, and that really should be done systematically with a goal of 10 to 15% of your pay each month going into some sort of retirement account.
Yeah, I already have that.
Okay, great. So if you paid off your credit card debt and you shored up your emergency fund, would you have anything left?
I would probably have maybe 25 left.
25,000 left. Okay,
yeah.
Great. All right, and you are putting away for retirement. So then I think the next question is, are you putting away enough for retirement? How much have you been putting away? And if you've not been putting away that 10 to 15%, then I might consider starting a Roth IRA and fully funding that this year. Beyond that, I'm looking at other consumer debt or saving for goals. So, you know, if I don't know if you still have kids at home, but you know, college, you know, if you're saving for, you know, anything else, if you have a loan on a recreational vehicle, let's wipe that out. Those are the kinds of things I would be looking at. What that's going to do for you, Fred, is take that monthly debt service expense out of the budget, which allows you then on a monthly basis to get that going towards something that really is right in line with your goals, either additional giving or additional long-term savings and investments.
All right. Thank
you. All righty. Thanks for calling.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Fred. Bye-bye. Dee is in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hi, Dee.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I am calling about life insurance. I am 63 years old and was a single mom, and my kids are now 23 and 26, and on their own, I supported them each till they were 21. But things were so tight growing up, I had nothing for retirement. I just recently received a small inheritance and have $20,000 in a Roth IRA mm-hmm. and then $20,000 in another account that's earning some interest. But so I've always taken, well, actually, I thought it was term insurance, but I pulled it out, and it's actually accidental death. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Accidental
mm-hmm. death and dismemberment mm-hmm. insurance. And my credit union gives me $2,000 worth free, and then I pay extra for an additional $25,000. But since my kids are on their own, I've heard you say a couple times on air that if, you know, you're no longer supporting them, you really, or I think that's what you said, you okay. really don't yeah. need it anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think the key here is that, yeah, I mean, great job providing for yourself, taking care of your kids all the way up to their adults. I realize money's been tight. I think the key right now is to look at what do you need to do, and being able to let this policy lapse if they're no longer dependent on you and put that back in your budget is going to allow you to save more for your future. And that really should be your focus right now.
Okay. Dee, we hope that helps. Great question. Thanks very much. We'll be right back.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org. Hi, this is Steve Moore of MoneyWise Live, and this is the Moody Radio Verse of the Week. It's 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. That's 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
We all long for something good, true, and secure. There's a hunger for a hope that goes beyond politics and entertainment and reaches deep into our souls. That hunger can only be satisfied by Jesus. For more than 90 years, Moody Radio has faithfully delivered that message of hope to millions so they can take the next step in their walk with Christ.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
Do you know the 7 things not to do with your money in uncertain times? And would you like to know 10 ways to trim your budget amid the current pandemic? Well, you'll get those answers and much more when you subscribe to the new MoneyWise e-magazine. You'll receive valuable expert articles. You'll even get access to exclusive podcast episodes. And your subscription is free. Get access to the MoneyWise e-magazine at moneywiselive.org/signup.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. A Minneapolis police officer charged with second-degree murder in George Floyd's death will remain in custody on $1 million bond. Derek Chauvin said almost nothing during an 11-minute hearing in which he appeared on closed-circuit TV. Hundreds of mourners lining up outside a church in George Floyd's native Houston for a final public viewing. Floyd's funeral will be Tuesday, followed by burial at the Houston Memorial Garden Cemetery in suburban Pearland. Tropical storm Cristobal could soon renew its strength by merging with another storm system to form a large cyclone. After drenching much of the south, forecasters now expect the storm to bring fierce winds and heavy rain to much of the Midwest. Stocks closing higher on Wall Street. The Dow gained 461 points today. The NASDAQ up 110. The S&P picked up 38. This is SRN News.
MoneyWise Live, and we talk about our telephone number often, usually because we're live, but today we're pre-recorded, so if you hear a mention of the phone number, please don't call us, but you can find us online at moneywiselive.org. Always great to have you with us on MoneyWise Live. Let's go directly back to calls because I see lots of blinking lights. Glen Ellen, Illinois. Judy, you have a car situation going on there in your driveway. What's happening?
Yes, we've been driving a 1988 Corolla for quite a while. It was my parents' car. And about 2 weeks ago, it just died on us. And we're living on Social Security. We're both over 70. And so I didn't want to put any more money in this 30-year-old car, but my husband does. But there's also another car sitting in the driveway, and it is our renter's car. She bought a new car. So this is a 2005 Corolla sitting in our driveway. It's been sitting there for a year and a half. So I'm looking at these two cars because I'm tired of not having any transportation. And the Corolla, we asked somebody, and they said, it sounds like the distributor system, which you would have to tow it in, which would be probably 100, and then the whole distributor problem might be at least 200. So yeah. I'm thinking, okay, that's about 300. Well, the 2005 Corolla, it is a rebuilt engine, so I would have to transfer the title. I'd have to probably tow that in because it's not starting. And I don't know what else could be wrong with it, but it is a 2005, so I don't know what to do.
Judy, I appreciate the description of what you have going on here. Let me ask you, you mentioned you're living on Social Security. I imagine the budget is tight. Do you all have some savings set aside?
I do. From my parents, I have about $30,000.
About $30,000, okay. And are you able to make ends meet each month right now with the Social Security income you have?
It's close. Some weeks are very thin.
But you're not tapping into that $30,000 on a monthly basis?
Not on a monthly basis, but I have had to do that. But I'm trying to not do that.
Yeah. And you really need some transportation. I mean, you know, you're looking to have at least one reliable car out of this, or do you not need any transportation right now and you're just looking for what to do with these things?
Well, we are borrowing rides from people, but, you know, there's doctor appointments and things, so we really do need one of them to work.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Steve's the car guy on the team. So, Steve, 88 Corolla, 05 Corolla, one we know is about, or at least we think it's about $300 for the 88. Yeah. Probably the 05 is a bit more unknown, and we'd have to tow either of them. So where do we go from here?
Well, I would think off the top of my head that the 05 Corolla is certainly the one to look at first. Do you know how many miles are on that motor or that engine?
I don't know. It is a rebuilt engine, so somebody said something about, is it 200?
Okay. Well, for the sake of conversation, unless you find another piece of paper there, let's say it has 200,000 miles on it, and all it really needs is to have the electrical system looked at or the distributor or whatever it was you mentioned there. That's certainly worth a couple of $100. The other questions are how much rust, because I know you live in the Rust Belt up there in Illinois. Assuming that the car is not rusting away and the fenders aren't falling off and things like that, you want to look at the motor and see how many miles are on that. And again, putting $200, $300, $400 into that car, into the motor, is not a particularly bad thing. The other things you'd want to be concerned about would be the brakes and the cooling system, which is primarily the radiator, and the transmission. But when they tow it in to look at the motor, they should be able to tell you all that. And that would really be, I wouldn't have any problem at all putting $500 into that car if the car is in good shape, other than just needing a new distributor and whatever, you know, spark plugs, wiring, that kind of thing.
Now, do you have anyone talking about the 88 or the 2005?
The 2005. The 2005 Corolla is a much better car than your 88 at this point in time.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Now, here's what I would rather you do. Look around in your church and find a car guy. You know, ask your pastor. He'll know of a guy in the church who's honest and knows something about cars and can probably give you an informed opinion as to whether it's worth, fixing this motor. But based on the little information you have, I would suggest it probably is. But if you could find someone you trust in your church who could take a peek at it, that's where I'd start.
Okay. Great.
All right. Okay. Thank you for your call, Judy. Hey, call us back and let us know how it turns out, okay?
And Judy, Judy, this may help you sleep. According to Kelley Blue Book, 2005 Corollas today are priced between $4,500 and $6,000. So it's still a worthwhile car if it's not been abused, even with the new motor put in it. All right?
Okay. Great. Thank you.
And God bless you, Judy.
And call us back. Give me a call at home. We'll talk about it over dinner, okay, if we need to. Judy, I'm seeing blue. Is this a blue car?
It's grayish.
Okay.
As long as we've been doing this, Judy, I'm not sure he's ever gotten the color right. I'm just putting that out there.
Hey, Judy, let us know how it works out, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, Judy. Thanks very much. Well, I'm off today. I haven't had my coffee. And when I haven't had my coffee, then what I see sometimes is foggy.
I'm seeing a blue one, he says.
Yeah, well, it was, I'm not in charge of colors. That was a God thing back in the book of Genesis. You remember that. Up in the sky, rainbows, things like that. Anderson, Indiana. Renee, how can we help you?
Hi there. I was calling because I have a 17-month-old child. We have a 529 plan set up for him. He already has a little over $2,000 in the 529 plan. But as the holidays rolled in, we were receiving gifts from family of money, and they were saying things like, contribute it to 529, put it into savings, take a trip, things of that sort with it. So at this point, we're kind of wondering, Do we also set up a savings account? Do we set up an IRA possibly for, you know, future retirement? You know, we're long fingers here.
Yes.
But just kind of curious as to what the next step is, what the appropriate path and which order we should do things in, because we want to be good stewards of his money. And on the flip side, we also want to be able to, you know, when he turns 16, let him use some of that gifted money for a car or something of that sort.
Renee, let us jump in here. We're almost out of time. Rob?
Yeah, here's what I would say, Renee. First of all, congrats on not only your 17-month-old son, but being well-planned. Here's what I'd like to do. Let's hold you over until after the break here. We've got to hit a break, but I want to talk about this. It's a great question. We'll see if we can be of help to you.
All right, we will definitely do that. And you're listening to Money Wise with Rob West. We're talking cars, we're talking colors, IRAs, 401ks. We'll be right back.
Attention, Money Wise Live listeners. If you don't like free stuff, please change the station now. Still with us? Great. You can get free access today to the new MoneyWise e-magazine, packed with valuable expert articles, practical tips, and biblical wisdom. You'll even find exclusive podcast episodes you won't hear anywhere else. Your MoneyWise e-magazine subscription is waiting for you at moneywiselive.org/signup.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I'm here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. The power of your words is without estimation. A single comment can actually change the trajectory of a life. Whether it's spoken intensely or carelessly or heard by the person you're speaking to or overheard by someone you have no idea is listening. Without exaggeration, your words carry the power of life and death. People are listening and forming their own thoughts about God by the words you speak. That's why the scriptures tell us that whosoever restraineth his own tongue is prudent. Control your tongue and you'll positively influence lives. A simple, imprudent comment can spark a firestorm in the life or a situation. God holds you responsible for perpetuating life with your words and not death. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. If you need help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
My son Doug and his family were driving from Amarillo, Texas to New Mexico with torrential rain and tornadic skies. Well, Doug was thinking of turning back when he had his brother check the weather, who said, "Keep going, man. 20 more miles and you'll be in bright sunshine." You know, that might be God's message to you in this severe pandemic storm. He knows how we're hurting and stressing, even grieving. Shall I keep going or give up? Well, God makes this wonderful promise to those who belong to him. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. The journey here isn't all there is. There's an eternity ahead, and Jesus came to make heaven possible for us by dying on the cross to pay for the sin that would keep us from God's presence forever. And then he rose from the dead to be our hope and strength for every storm and to take us to heaven at journey's end. Now, if you're ready for this hope only Jesus can give, contact us at chataboutjesus.com so you can keep driving when you know there's bright sunshine ahead.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is our final segment of a broadcast we previously recorded. Thanks so much for being with us today, and we hope you'll stick around and enjoy the rest of the program. And welcome back to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. We were chatting with Renee, who's calling in from Anderson, Indiana, Rob, about how to prepare a 17-month-old for, the presidency and all buying their first car. Help us out here, Rob. What's your best advice?
Yeah. Well, as I said, Renee, congrats for being very well planned. Incredible. You already have $2,000 and a 529 with a 17-month-old. Here's the thing. The IRA is not going to be an option. You have to have earned income. And unless your 17-month-old's a little bit more advanced than any 17-month-old I know, he's probably not working yet. Okay, so IRAs have to be in an individual's name, in their Social Security number, and it has to be there has to be earned income. So what do we do? Well, as you continue to get money, I would encourage you to do some planning for college. So begin to think about, and there's some online calculators, or you could get a financial planning professional who has some expertise in college planning, and go ahead and look at what your goal is. First decision to make is, do we want to try to fund 100% of college? Do we want to try to fund 60 or 50% and ask the child to perhaps maybe work during the summers and, you know, those types of things? Maybe you plan on, you know, hopefully some scholarship money, whether there'd be any financial aid involved. Let's try to make those decisions. Then do some projections to say, okay, what is the average in-state college tuition today with room and board, the total cost of attendance, what's out of state, which one would we like to have, private school, public school, and then run that out with college tuition inflation in there and see what your goal is so you know what you're trying to shoot for. And that's going to tell you how much you all need to be putting in on a monthly basis, whether that comes from your own savings or gifts and Christmas and things that come along the way. And so that's the first choice. If there's money outside of what you're already planning to save for college that you want to be working for your child so you have it down the road, then you have to determine, okay, what vehicle are we going to put it in? You could put it in a custodial account. The challenge with those is, although there's some benefits for, like, for instance, financial aid, I don't like the custodial account because at the age of majority in your state, it becomes the child's asset. So the child would have complete discretion over how to use the funds at the age of majority. In some states, that's 18. I'd rather you have a little bit more control over the money just to understand what is his or her spiritual condition, what's their maturity level, including financial maturity. So that would leave you then in saving in an account that's titled in your name or joint you and your husband. And at that point, then you could just begin investing it. Now, there wouldn't be any tax benefit. You wouldn't be growing tax deferred, but you could get it to work in some very high quality, perhaps index mutual funds. You could go somewhere like Vanguard or Betterment or Schwab through their intelligent portfolios. You could visit our friends at Sound Mind Investing and just get this money to work for you. Again, very well diversified, very low cost, and just let it grow with the market over time. And then you'd have a nice asset there to use to bless your son when he's starting off as a down payment on a car or a home, or, you know, as a gift for a wedding, you know, any number of choices. But how does that sound?
That sounds great. So for the for the savings, the high return savings or low return savings, I'm not really sure at this point. Can we extract that money without any type of penalty at any point?
Yeah, if it's in just a savings account in your name, even if it's earmarked for the child, you would have complete discretion over it. So if it's truly a savings account, like an FDIC insured high yield savings, where you're going to earn somewhere between 1.8 and maybe 2% at the most per year, with like a Capital One 360 or an Ally Bank or something like that, you would have complete access to the funds at any time. If you wanted to invest it, you'd still have access. But you just have to understand that when we're investing it, we probably don't want to be planning to use it in the next 5 years. We want this to be longer term money so we can ride out the ebbs and flows of the market over the years.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. Right. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome, Renee. We appreciate you listening, and thanks for your call today.
Rob, when we talk about investing these days, right now, obviously, things are a little spooky on the market, or at the on the markets. or with the markets. What would be your recommendation for someone who has yet to put money in? Should they wait for something special? Should they get in right now? What about timing in that regard?
Yeah, I don't like timing the market. I'd rather you go with God's word, which says a steady plotting is the way to go. For me, that's what you call dollar cost averaging. So we should be investing with money that's appropriately being allocated toward the long term. We should be investing on a systematic basis, despite what the market's doing. When you try to pick the top or the bottom, you're going to lose. So I would just be diligent in investing over time with the ebbs and flows of the market, and just make sure you have an investment strategy that matches your goals.
All right, great. Evanston, Illinois. Andrew, what's your question today for Rob?
Hello. First of all, I would just love to say thank you so much. You guys come on, your program comes on right as I'm picking up my kids every day from school. So you're helping to redeem the carpool wait line, and I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew.
It's a tough thing to do. So, so I wanted to call because my wife and I are currently living in Evanston, doing some ministry at Northwestern University. We work with international students and other college students. And where we're at is a great location. We live about a mile from campus, and we host students in our home probably 2 to 3 times a week. And the problem is our rent is getting ready to go up. Our lease is up in the end of July, and our rent is going to go up. And it's going to be over 50% of our take-home pay, just the rent alone, not considering utilities or anything else. So we've been just trying to look at different options. We could move further away from campus, but then it would obviously affect our ministry possibilities. We had also looked into the possibility of maybe potentially buying a place. And ideally, I'd kind of like to get like a 2 or 3 flat where we could rent out a portion, live in it, and then rent out a portion to some other students and just kind of be a blessing to them.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to kind of get your insight on what we should do.
Yes. Well, first of all, I love the work that you're doing. Thrilled to hear. You know, campus ministry, I think, is one of the most powerful, leveraged kingdom-building activities anywhere because this is such a critical age, and we all know the statistics about people that come to Christ after the age of 18, and so it's just such ripe and fertile ground for sharing the gospel, and so way to go for the work that you're doing. Here's the thing. I hear what you're saying about the rent going up. I just don't want you to get in a situation where you are getting overextended. So even if you had to be a little bit further away from campus and you got to drive a little ways, even though I understand doing campus ministry, you want to be able to have students over and things like that, I don't want you all to end up in a situation where your ministry is hindered or you have extra stress relationally or in your marriage because you're overextended. Even though I love the idea of you having a couple of extra places and renting those out, we just need to make sure you have the right margin or the right savings underneath you, because what we don't want to get in a situation where the housing market takes a downturn, you've got all this debt, perhaps you lose a couple of renters or you have to do some maintenance, you don't have the reserves, and now we're in a real difficult spot. In college towns, I realize that rent can be high. Remember, the goal here is 25% of take-home for the housing category. So if you were to try to land on that 25%, what would you need to do in terms of buying or renting? Would you have to change what you're looking at? Would you have to move further away from town? What would be your options? And then secondly, what kind of savings do you have?
Yeah, so we recently just sold a house that we were renting in another state before we went into college ministry. So we use that to pay down our debt, but we don't have much in savings. We have a small emergency fund, maybe $2,000 saved up, and then we have some other money saved up for our taxes because we're going to have some capital gains hits that we're going to take for that. So we have that money saved up as well. But for us to get down to that 25% threshold, there's really – I mean, we could rent maybe a one-bedroom or a studio. In Evanston, something super cheap, but the reason why I was looking at a 2 or 3 flat is because there's some places that I've just done some initial cursory research and found that, you know, we could maybe get into a place that with mortgage and taxes and everything, our rent would be around $2,000 to $2,500, which isn't, which is about what we're paying now. And then if we had a renter, you know, it could help lower that down. I just don't know if any place would be willing to lend us money at that higher threshold, even though we've been paying it for years. You know, it's tight, but we've been able to make it. So I just don't know if we could find a place that would.
Well, it's a tough situation here, Andrew, and I certainly appreciate what you're trying to accomplish. I think what's giving me pause is we don't have really much in the way of emergency savings, let alone anything for a down payment. So we just have to take on too much debt. So I'm going to encourage you to continue to rent. Perhaps we need to start looking at places a little further away from campus, try to get the overall allocation to rent down well below that 50% you're paying now, and let's try to save so you've got some money for a down payment down the road. I'm confident God will give you the resources according to what you believe he's leading you to do, and I'm sure you're making a huge impact, but I just don't want to see you guys get overextended here without any margin.
Andrew, I know we don't have much time here left, but I'd like to recommend to you Publication 517 from the IRS. It's called Social Security and Other Information for Members of the Clergy and Religious Workers. There's actually a lot of great housing information there. Go to irs.gov and then look for Publication 517. We wish you the best. We'll keep you guys in our prayers. God bless you and your ministry. Thanks so much. And with that, we're out of time. For Rob West, I'm Steve Moore. Thanks so much for tuning in, for listening, and for calling. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. My thanks to our entire staff for helping us out today. Hoping you'll join us again next time.